That the audio of the General Council meeting will be recorded, will be made available on the City of Marion website. I ask elected members if they... I think it is... Can't hear me. Well, I thought people wanted a new gentle, kind mayor. I can start yelling if you want. A loud, kind mayor. Okay. It's a big ask. Does any elected member wish to foreshadow a conflict of interest with any item on the agenda? Then we'll keep moving on. Would someone like to move confirmation of the minutes of the last General Council meeting? Moved Councillor Pfeiffer, seconded Councillor Telfer. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Thank you. Would someone like to move receipt of the written communications reports? Moved Councillor Masika, seconded Councillor Duncan. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Thank you. Now there's an opportunity, because there's a blue moon this week, an opportunity for verbal reports from elected members, if they wish. Any takers? Councillor Telfer. Any others? Councillor Hull.
It's been done, and the jewel of the crown in terms of open space has been finished. So it's a good thing. It was a wet day, but I would have rather have seen that than the continued drought that was bringing a great deal of stress to a lot of the new plantings that have been done by the volunteer group down there. So hopefully all of that greenery will get the welcome moisture that they deserve. Just very quickly, and maybe somebody can just take note of this, that Councillor Pryor and myself were engaged by a resident at least about the Oaklands Crossing and some minor features. It's important to stress that they are minor features, but nevertheless important. The electrical boxes that have been plonked down there alongside the crossing. Two things. One, there's a view that they could have been put in a more appropriate place that didn't create the eyesore that they are. And the other thing is that they could have been placed further back, and consistent with what I just said, to actually allow for appropriate car parking that should be at that location. It seems that once again, Mr. Mayor, that the damage has been done. Diptyque got a long history of this, putting electrical boxes in the way of good things, and it's happened again. And
thank you.
If you can take that up maybe with the local member, would be appreciated.
Just a question, Councillor Hull, have you taken up those points with an appropriate staff member, Dr. Grimm or someone? All right. Well, we do have a couple of our general managers here, so will they take that on board? Thank you for follow-up. Any other takers in respect of the reports? Councillor Lescu.
In the parks area, just the pride that they took in some of the work that they did recently in Park Holm. There was mess created as part of the process. It was cleaned up straight away. They worked hard, and I think it's good to recognise that. And it just makes our staff especially that are on show, it's good that the community recognises their good work. I also attended the True North event, and that was a combination with two others, two other troops they have in different areas as part of the Dream Big Festival. So it was actually part of the festival. And I have to say that the Marion crew had actually improved on last year, that they got better. And you had people from ages 6 to 20, and everyone was engaged. Now, quite often you'll see productions where there are, some of the people are just hanging around, and it was something that everyone was part of. It was true ensemble work, and the council should be proud that they're supporting such events for our young people.
Thank you. Any other reports? Then we'll keep going. On page 32, or really specifically 34, you'll find the minutes of the Infrastructure and Strategy Committee. Would somebody like to move that they be adopted? Councillor Schilling, seconded Councillor Crossland. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Thank you. We'll keep going. No confidential items tonight. That's a relief. Corporate reports for decision. Community grants on page 43. Would anyone like to move a motion? Now, this is in two parts. I should remind you that there are both Clause 1, the grant applications, which have been through a vetting process, and secondly, revised community grant guidelines, specifically taking schools out as recipients of our community grants so that they can rely rather on the Department of Education. So would someone like to move accordingly? Councillor Telfer? Thank you. Is that seconded? Councillor Pfeiffer? Anyone opposing? Councillor Hull?
Just quickly, I think that the blunt instrument of excluding schools is something I can't agree with. Schools are a part of our community. We might actually take the view that this is cost shifting, by actually giving money to schools. However, if we are selective and astute about what those grants are, like obviously if they want new computers for the school, well, hang on, you know, I agree. But if it's something specific that will benefit the enlightenment of our children, and particularly if it can be a joint council and Department of Education venture, which we've done before on a number of occasions, then I think there's an opportunity for us to consider schools. So I just hope that maybe we'll get the opportunity to review that again and be more critical about how we do that with schools rather than exclude them altogether. So I respect the reasons why the council has taken this position in terms of appropriate use of ratepayers' money and trying to address the cost shifting that does happen from the state government in particular. It's ongoing. However, throwing the baby out with the bathwater in this case, I can't agree with. So I just want to park that, because something tells me we may well hear from those communities. And they're very strong, articulate parts of our community. And I still have children at school. And I know how engaged those school communities can be. And they may well feel duped. They may well feel duped from being excluded and offended even. So I'll leave it there.
Anyone else speaking in favour of the motion? A question from Councillor Gard.
Point three, it's headed created. This is a summary of projects not recommended. Created South Point. There's a group of 16 children meeting one Sunday per month, church art group. The main point given was that the applicant didn't demonstrate broader community benefits. But is that a stringent requirement, that there be broader community benefits?
And I think it is in the guidelines, Councillor Gard. But I'll invite staff if they wish to comment. Ms. Byrne. On page 50, item number 3, there was a church group wanting to purchase art supplies. And Councillor Gard was questioning the assessment, I suppose, of whether or not there was broader community benefit.
Projects, not not recommended, and we this was as a result of our conversation at the elected member forum that they were not included as feedback from members.
Well, the so
yes, well that will be in the future guidelines. It will be. It wasn't for the previous guidelines.
Are you saying this has got nothing to do with schools? Are you saying, Ms. Byrne, that current applicants don't need to demonstrate broader community benefits?
Yes. Excuse me, through the chair, they do, and Emma is more familiar with these with their applications, and yes, it was. It was. This was the eligible project, and it didn't demonstrate wider community benefit.
Does that help you, Councillor Gard? Did you wish to speak any further?
Your Worship, and thank you for the opportunity. I guess my afterthought there is, in an instance such as that, where it, to me it just had a delicateness about it, is it possible to offer a much smaller sum, just as a show of good faith?
Anything's possible. Ms. Byrne, what do you say?
Through the chair, yes, that is possible if council and members determine so. All community grants are at your discretion and at your decision making. What you see in front of you is actually panel recommendations, and you can determine to put a, we are undersubscribed in this round, so we haven't spent our fully allocated $50,000. So if you wish to give that full amount of $2,000 or something lesser, you are more than welcome to do.
Councillor Gard.
Well, if I could recommend, I don't think it's a separate motion, but just recommend that there be an adjustment to $1,000 rather than $2,000. It's nominal.
Councillor Gard, that would take the form of an amendment, because the first part of the motion is to adopt the grants as we see set out in one of the tables. So to transfer that item from one list to another would be an amendment, probably fairly simple amendment, sort of. That the you wish to move that amendment, do you?
If I could so move, yep.
That well, we better be specific. It always helps, Councillor Gard, if you have thought about it beforehand and you come up with a written amendment. Otherwise, we're always at some risk when we do it on the spot. But we could that the. Well, I suppose it's the end of clause one there, except that the South Point application be granted, or I suppose that except that South Point Church of Christ be granted $1,000 in respect of their application. Staff happy with that wording? So that's, and Councillor Gard, you're happy with that? I think that's about as simple as we can make it.
Mr. Mayor, may I ask a procedural question?
There's a point of order just while we're checking the wording on the screen. A point of order, Councillor Hull.
Is it possible to vote on both of those items, both the policy change and the recommended? Because I'll vote for those recommendations, but I don't want to vote for the policy. Is that fair?
It is possible. I would suggest if the mover and the seconder agree, then with leave of the meeting we could do that.
As mover, I'm prepared to move just number one first and then move the second piece.
Right. And the seconder? Is happy with that as well. So if I have leave of the meeting, the original motion is just to move clause number one at this point. I'll come back to Councillor Telfer later for clause number two. And we, so the, that resolves the point of order. And where, that's, so looking at the wording, just making sure that Councillor Gard's happy with what's on the screen presented to us. I think that's about right. Councillor Gard, did you wish to speak any further to it? Then is that motion seconded? Last chance. Seconded by Councillor Masika. Did you wish to speak, Councillor Masika? Oh, very well. Our practice is to vote on the amendment immediately after it's been moved and seconded, so I'll put the amendment to the meeting. Raise your hand if you're in favour. Raise your hand if you're against. The amendment is carried. So we now have the amended motion, and anyone who hasn't yet spoken may speak in the debate. Councillor Valescu.
The school motions have got merit under the, and we haven't changed the policy yet. So can they be included?
So this is certainly getting messy, and certainly highlights the advantage of people bringing their concerns to staff or the mayor before the meeting. Because when this happens, of course, it means at the end of the meeting we end up not getting to motions that people actually want to debate. So really, Councillor Valescu, your remedy is a procedural motion to defer the remainder of, I don't know if we can defer this motion until recommendation number two is resolved. Can we do that, Ms. McKenzie, Governance Manager? So, I'll tell you what makes sense to me as Chair. We've embarked on this process now. We've split off clauses one and two, but it actually makes sense to test the principle before dealing with the specific, in my view. So I would, Councillor Valescu, say it's the Chair's discretion. I would accept a motion from you that this motion now be deferred until recommendation number two is resolved.
I lose my speaking rights and moving rights if I do that?
I'll come back to you when we resume, if it's passed, when we resume debate on clause one.
I'm happy to do that.
So that's a procedural motion. So I hope everyone understands it means that we deal with clause two and the principle before we come back to clause one, and people might have further to say about that. So is the procedural motion seconded? That we deal with, so Councillor Pryor seconded that. Procedural motion, we put that straight away. All those in favour, all those against, carried by majority. So we now deal with recommendation number two. Of course, it can be moved in a different form, but I'll leave it. Actually, it goes back to Councillor Telfer. She was displaying an intention to move that way. So do you wish to now move the clause two, Councillor Telfer?
Yes, I move the clause two as it is. I believe that we have had some thought about schools. I'm very concerned about the list of schools that we have tonight, and that maybe it's easy to think, oh, well, the City of Marion can pay for some community gardens or some more equipment and some extra things here and there. And I think rightfully some of these things need to be owned by the schools as their responsibility through the Education Department.
Very well. Is that seconded? Councillor Crossland, you wish to speak?
Only briefly, look, the guidelines are sound. We more than adequately cater for schools. In fact, we actually bring school projects as a standalone. We've spent tens of thousands on helping schools out, particularly with car parking and things like that. The other thing is we've got the youth grants, which are specifically aimed at school-aged pupils and young people that can happen after school or in school holidays on school grounds. So we do cater for schools more than we do the rest of the community.
Anyone can speak. We're on a fresh motion now. Does anyone want to speak against? No, Councillor Hull, you haven't spoken on this motion, which only deals with the clause 2.
Mr. Mayor, I might seek to move an amendment consistent with what I was saying before, back it up, and basically leave the school bit at the discretion of the council. In other words, if we, as an elected group, feel they have merit, that they don't fit the bill described by Councillor Telfer, she has a point. If they are a joint project that has some common good for that local community, including the school community, then maybe we should have the discretion to actually consider that. I'd hate to see the baby thrown out with the bathwater with this. It may well be that the ones tonight are actually in the category described by Councillor Telfer. Okay? I concede that. But I'm looking forward and looking back at what we've done before and what we may well get in the future in terms of schools rightfully putting their hand up as a valuable part of our community, seeking to actually get council to commit some funding to a project that is more than what we see tonight.
A point of order. Councillor, well, I haven't heard any amendment yet, but I was ready to give some guidance. I'm not worried about what's on the screen. I have to pay attention to what people are saying. There hasn't been an amendment put to me yet, but it certainly sounds like the member is speaking against the motion. And I was getting ready to help the member with that and suggest that if the guidelines are to be rewritten to some extent, there's a little bit of technical work in that, and it would be preferable to oppose the motion outright, Councillor Hull. That would leave, and then if it is opposed, some work could be done between meetings to come back with wording that suited you, and another set of guidelines could be put before council. What I'm trying to avoid, as a matter of good governance, is actually redrafting the guidelines here on the spot. So what I hear you saying, so I'm trying to be honourable to your intention, you're really speaking against the motion, and I don't think an amendment will save you from simply opposing the motion.
Well, I did say quite early in the piece that in relation to schools it be at the discretion of this council, and that would be my amendment.
Councillor Hull, just order for a sec. Just to help you out, the current guidelines actually do speak of eligible projects which are of benefit to the wider community, etc. I think that's similar to phrasing that you used. There is another change that's made to the guidelines which stresses the absolute discretion of the council. Ms. Byrne, is that right?
Through you, Chair, yes, that is correct.
So it sounds very much to the Chair that Councillor Hull is seeking to revert to the current guidelines, albeit with the discretion factor. The easiest way to do that is probably simply to oppose the motion, but if the meeting wishes to deal with it a different way, then Councillor Hull could move an amendment that certain of those suggested changes be made. Perhaps, Councillor Hull, you're intending that the guidelines be confirmed as they are without any changes in respect to schools. But if that's the amendment, then it would be a direct negative and it wouldn't be an acceptable amendment because you're simply opposing the motion, the principle behind the motion. So I don't see how you can get what you want through an amendment at this point.
Okay, well, I accept your ruling and I foreshadow an alternative motion if this motion's unsuccessful.
Right, so you've spoken against anyone else speaking in favour, which is adopting the guidelines that you have before you. Councillor Pryor.
Yeah, just a quick question about the guidelines. If we adopt the new guidelines and then a good project comes up in a school, we still have the absolute discretion of council to rely on. So we can still put that in the mix, or is it explicitly preclude schools?
I think the discretion is designed to knock things out, not to include things that don't meet the guidelines. But I'll ask Ms. Byrne to clarify that.
So through the chair, with the new guidelines, schools would be ineligible to apply, so they won't even go through the process of community grants because it clearly states that they are not eligible. So we won't find out about a good project unless it will be through conversations, through another means, through other teams or through our youth involvement.
Councillor Pryor, that help you? So look, Councillor Valescu.
Page 55 in our agenda is the current or the future guidelines?
The guidelines, you see two sets before you. So the first is the current, and then the second, starting on page 59, is the marked up version. So you can see the current wording, but you can also see the amendments. And the two critical things, I mean, there are some other perhaps inconsequential changes, but the two main things are excluding schools from eligibility and stressing the discretion, which arguably is there anyway. Councillor Valescu, do you wish to speak? You don't have to. All right. After those questions, I'd accept a speaker for or against. Councillor Gard.
Yes, in this instance, I do hear what Councillor Crossan is saying, but even more strongly, I hear what Councillor Hull is saying, and the schools being such a broad sector, and we really do want schools to prosper no end in our community, I regretfully have to vote against the motion in the hope that we will be able to amend that list to favour schools at the council's discretion. So I'm on the same page as Councillor Hull here.
Very well. Any speakers in favour of the motion? Then I'll leave it to Councillor Telfer to close the debate.
I think that we have resources, we have groups in our community for community grants. They are the ones that often don't have resources. That's where we should be putting our resources. And I think some of these where it's convenient for schools perhaps to receive grants when they could seek further are a little bit less tight, a little bit nebulous. So I think so that staff are able to work with guidelines, that it is a clearer picture if the schools are not eligible to apply.
I'll put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against, raise your hand. The motion's carried.
Division, please. Mr.
Division's called by Councillor Hull. If you're in favour of the motion, please stand. So I've got Councillor Pfeiffer, Masika, Valescu, Pryor, Telfer, Duncan and Crossland. You may sit down. Those against, Councillors Hull, Schilling and Gard. The motion is carried. Now, the procedural motion brings us back to where we were in debating Clause 1 as amended. And I said I'd come back to Councillor Valescu for speaking rights.
Your Worship, I'd actually like to add the three schools on there. I think as a point of governance, schools were eligible. The report does say that the grants have merit, and the only thing in the report that indicates that is the concern about schools. We've changed the guidelines for schools, but I think the fact that we've actually started the process and people applied in good faith, I think we do need to honour that. And we will still be a few hundred dollars undersubscribed if we add them all in with what's already there and what's already been added.
So perhaps, Ms. Byrne, you can help. It'll be a similar motion to, sorry, a similar amendment to the previous amendment. Remember that only two amendments are allowed per motion. And if we could specify the three schools.
11, 12, 13.
And two?
The schools that have merit, so the number two...
And five. Two. Well, Councillor, if you're going to pick and choose between the schools, please just clarify which ones you mean.
There was the three at the end that had merit under the proposal. So there was Stella Maris, was Hallett Cove East and Hallett Cove South.
Right, so if they...
Because...
If they could be written up, but yes, we can sort of finish speaking to that while... If you have anything more, then I realise that that's still being put up on the screen. But would anyone else like to second the motion? Councillor Masika, wish to speak to that?
Thanks, the Chair. I'd like to second the motion because when the grant was advertised, the school applied in good faith and meeting up the eligibility criteria. So because we have changed the goalpost now...
I'm sorry, Councillor Masika. I'm terribly sorry. I was a bit overly relaxed as chair, but Ms. McKenzie's pointed out that you've already spoken by earlier in the debate, and so I can't give you another opportunity. But I think you were able to make your point just in that brief contribution again. Thank you. Anyone else in favour of the amendment? So we're actually just second the amendment. Councillor Schilling, did you wish to speak? So we understand we're talking about including the applications from Stella Maris, Hallett Cove East and Hallett Cove South. Because it's an amendment, I'll put that amendment immediately. Those in favour, raise your hand. Those against, raise your hand. I'm not seeing all hands. I'm sorry. We'll have to take that again. Those in favour, please raise your hand. Those against, please raise your hand. So 5 and 5, that it is tied. I'm going to, as chair, I'm going to give my casting vote in the affirmative, just on the basis that those schools were acting under the existing guidelines when they lodged their applications. But I take the opportunity to say that I agree with the principle that when schools are providing things like rainwater tanks, as we've had in the past, that really it should be a Department of Education or a parent community contribution rather than this council taking on a state or, for that matter, a private school responsibility. Having put my vote in favour of the amendment is carried, so there can be no more amendments. If anyone hasn't spoken, you have the motion amended twice, which is now before you. Anyone who hasn't spoken can speak. I don't think there'd be many left. If there are no more, then Councillor Telfer, it's up to you to close the debate. Nothing further, so that we basically approve the original list plus those four items. That's the motion. All those in favour, all those against, carried by majority. Thank you. So now we can move on. Once again, I certainly urge members to be in touch with staff before the meeting if they have amendments or concerns. We're on to page 64, public consultation feedback on the draft four-year business plan and the draft annual business plan, which is the budget, essentially, and the long-term financial plan. I will just inform members that one question I asked in relation to those people who didn't like what we're doing and who voted no, if reasons were given. But they weren't, which makes it very difficult to know how to improve. But since we're only dealing with about three or four people, I'm not going to lose sleep over it. So, who would like to move accordingly? Councillor Pfeiffer. Saying anything further? Councillor Bilescu.
I think in future we can try to encourage people to say what the issue is, because from their feedback we can improve.
Are you seconding the motion? Thank you. Anyone speaking against?
Question.
Or a question, Councillor Hull?
Mr Mayor, this might be for another process, but is it not normal for you to invite members of the gallery to address council in regards to this, or is this...
That occurred at the last general council meeting.
Right, so...
That's been and gone, and we're now considering the feedback, the volumes of feedback that we had from all of those different processes. Councillor Crossland, you speaking against or question? Yes.
Thank you, Your Worship. I know in conversations at forums we've all been keen on looking at improving open space. I may have missed it, but I thought we were going to try and include another amount to try and revegetate some of our reserves rather than relying on revegetation in this actual budget. But I can't actually see an amount in there.
Anything there in the fine print, Mr. Lyons?
Not sure if you were at the last meeting, Mr. Lyons, but we wanted an amount proposed that would give us the opportunity to look at greening some of our reserves, even if it didn't mean with irrigation, and we were after a sum of money to do maybe so many a year.
Through the Chair, would that have been at the forum last week in the implementation of the landscaping plan? We have considered that, and we are bringing that to a further forum as requested to discuss the Oakland's irrigation and the irrigation as a whole, and also a nominal sum for that. I haven't got a number for you for this current budget, but we did want to bring that to you, I think, in September to include in the next annual business plan. One of our reasons for not including it in this year is that we've got two trial sites, neither of which have been completed or experienced how they're going, and it could be deemed that we complete them this coming year and then get some money in the next years to actually roll out further sites.
Councillor Crossland.
Sorry, in response to that, Your Worship, I still would like to see an amount in there. I think we have 29 remnant vegetation sites. To me, they are already growing. They're our trial sites to show that we can revegetate areas that are currently dust bowls without water. So I still would like to see an amount in this budget. I can either put a figure there myself, or if you could give me an amount that would be suitable for this year, please.
Through the Chair, at the moment we've got two lots of $30,000, I understand, so that could be a number that we could include.
Well, if the mover and seconder would agree, I'd rather put something like $90,000 to give us at least a good number of reserves rather than just going for irrigation or nothing.
I wonder if you would like to take the opportunity to move suspension of standing orders, because I feel there might be more questions coming once we start opening this can of worms.
No, I'm happy to do that, Your Worship. Yes. I just was expecting it in the budget, but I couldn't find it. I'll move that way to suspend.
Thank you. Seconded, Councillor Gard. All those in favour? Right, that's carried unanimously. So, Councillor Crossland, still with you. Did you have any further questions, or you've got a bid, if you like, at the moment, because I just don't want to do this one by one. That's my point. If there are others coming out of the woodwork, we'll do them all together in the ever-expanding budget.
This isn't for any particular reserve. It's across council. It may be just certain areas that need doing in certain reserves, but I think we've sort of neglected some of those reserves for too long, and there are opportunities, even if it's just small areas within our current reserves, to get a bit of a win and also maybe do some revegetation.
Right. So, Mr. Lyons, you're sort of taking, or Dixon, you're taking that on board as a potential. You'll need to think about where it fits in, I suppose, as well. Look, I'll take the opportunity to ask a couple of questions myself. Air conditioning at the Gymnastics SA Hall, is that in there somewhere?
Through the Chair, we do have, I'm not sure if it's listed specifically, but we do have $2.8 million in the budget for our buildings. So as we do the building condition audits of our buildings, we'll prioritise those works as well to, you know, address those air conditioners as well.
But just to clarify, this would be an upgrade, though, not renewal. So is that a different budget?
Through the Chair, it will still be from that budget, and where we address, you know, ageing facilities that need to be upgraded so they are fit for purpose. Buildings today should have heating and cooling, so that will be addressed.
All right. And then one more is the... Allow me three questions, people. The Glengowrie YMCA toilets...
Through the Chair, staff did go down and inspect that site, and they found that it was in working order. So, but you know, should there be a need to upgrade that again, that will be covered in that building budget.
Sure. Oh, there's no doubt. It's a great piece of 1950s architecture. Anyone else, Councillor Hull?
Mr. Mayor, in the last forum, we spoke about irrigation to our reserves, the greening of Marion, and we talked about bringing it down one level in terms of eligibility.
Oh, that was irrigation in particular?
Irrigation in particular, because I think that's just as important as Councillor Crosland's suggestion about vegetation. In fact, if you don't irrigate a lot of the stuff we plant, they won't grow. So
Councillor, did you want to, just trying to shortcut here, did you want to increase the water budget by the amount that would be required to drop the category down by one?
Well, that's what we talked about, as you might remember, and now may be the time to actually lock it in or exclude it. And I think we should probably try and lock it in.
It's certainly an opportunity.
If staff can give a notional figure of how many reserves that might relate to.
I think it was about six from memory. Mr. Lyons, how would we apply that to the budget now?
Through the Chair, the discussion at the forum was that we would go and speak to individual wards and discuss the reserves in that level 12 and 11 and 10 and which ones they would support to be irrigated and which ones could be converted to natural landscaping, etc., and then bring that back to Council. That's something that whole process we can't do before the end of June, but what we can do is put a nominal sum that would cover the irrigation of a level 12, and I can provide finance that number and include that in the draft budget.
Mr. Mayor, it's actually got more commonality with Councillor Crosland than I thought.
I'm sensing there's some support for that to bring it down to the... We're currently on level 13, and level 12 includes a number more reserves potentially. So if staff could come up with some appropriate wording for us to put in the motion tonight, that would be good. Councillor Gard and then Councillor Pfeiffer.
Your Worship, I have two quick questions. Is tonight the final night, firstly, that we are to debate and agree upon the level of rate increase? And the other question is in regard to the item greening our streets on page 84 and other such ongoing projects, would it not be more appropriate to at least foreshadow continuing expenditure for more than the 1 year of the four-year plan? Because one would take from the item in greening our streets that there's a $2 million expenditure 2019-20, and that's it. Whereas we know that there are ensuing years that are involved, maybe with comparable amounts. And of course, this is a very emotive item. But there may be other items like it. I haven't vetted the whole.
Well, could I ask Mr. Lyons? So the question is about beyond the next financial year, and what happens the ensuing years, or Mr. Who would like to answer that?
I can quickly say through the Chair that this is an annual business plan, and so the reference is to next year's projects, but it is in the long-term financial plan. It is a commitment, and we could make that note in the wording there.
And Councillor Guard, you had another point, I think?
Yes, just regarding whether this is the final opportunity to debate and agree on the rate increase.
Our goal as a responsible elected council would be to finalise this budget in June, and therefore we probably... Since we've started the process of opening the Pandora's box, let's continue. If people want to put anything else on the table. Did you, Councillor Guard?
Well, certainly I'm going very conservative on rate increases for this year. 1.8 is higher than I had in mind, and certainly my recommendation would be no higher than 1.3. I do have substantial, or I can substantiate that reasoning, but that's another point. But that would be where I would sit, and there, I believe there are other councillors in that same boat.
Well, I'm happy to be guided by the managers here, but I suspect what we ought to do is pass a motion which accepts the budget and four-year plan in front of us, with any variations that people are talking about right now, but then have a separate motion, sort of leaving aside the question of rate increases, and then have a separate motion that deals with that question. But probably better now than what I know I did allow years ago, debate on it in June at the death knock, which is not the best way to do it. So if there's going to be good or bad news for the finance team, then sooner the better, really. So let's take that on board in the crafting of the motion that we're about to deal with. First of all, any more items on people's Christmas list? Councillor Telfer.
I'd just like to foreshadow that at the next ward briefing, the car park that's an annex to Mitchell Park Sports and Community Centre will be discussed, and with the aim of improving it, maybe with pervious solutions that are new to the city and water sustainable urban design.
So is that something that you're suggesting we incorporate into the motion tonight?
No, I'm just foreshadowing that it will be discussed at the next ward briefing, which is next Tuesday. I don't think I can bring anything substantial to that.
Wait until after that. Councillor Pfeiffer, apologies, you were next.
No, I think we've possibly covered off most of my question through Councillor Guard. Look, I don't disagree with some of the things that have come up, but I'm just curious to know that it will actually be, these things will actually be highlighted within the draft budget that comes back to us in June. So these additional items, firstly, I'd like to know that they will be shown up as new items. And secondly, we'll have clarity as to where the funding for those items comes from, whether it be from one of our various reserves or from rates.
Very well. I think with that I can help Council formulate a motion, be slightly different to what's recommended. So if you look back on page 64, there's no problem with the clause 1 there, noting the feedback. But I suspect that we ought to say in clause 2, notes the amendments to the draft plans endorsed by Council on 14 May 2019, and add there, and at this General Council meeting. We haven't resumed standing orders yet, I'm just suggesting this to you. And then below that clause, we can put some dot points, and staff might have some wording ready for this, in relation to greening reserves, irrigation, which is a different thing, and leaving aside the question of rates. And I just seek staff advice on whether we actually need to specify that. But what might come forward in a moment is a motion regarding the average rate increase. So would it be inconsistent to do that as a separate motion? Do we need to keep it as an exception in the main motion? taken together, it's all probably fairly clear, but I'm just seeking staff advice. All right, we probably don't need to specify that. So if members look on the screen available to us, we've got... we actually need a couple of numbers filled in. All right. Well, that's all there was. So it's not an amendment, by the way, because we were having that discussion while standing orders were suspended. So what I'm doing now is resuming standing orders, and we've got... Have I? Oh. I did, too. So I've got a mover and a seconder. Well, would the mover and seconder agree to incorporate these changes or not?
Your Worship, I kind of agree in principle, but I think I don't like coming up with numbers on the fly. I will be withdrawing my moving of this just because...
Well, what I'd suggest is that what was put up on the screen by staff was correct. It can be dealt with as an amendment for those additional sums, and if the amendment is carried, then we'll go on to talk about the question of rates if the council wishes to. So does somebody wish to move that as an amendment to include those additional items? Councillor Crossland, wish to speak to that?
Just very briefly, I accept what Councillor Pfeiffer says, and we've had some terrible decisions made on the fly over the years, but this one, to be honest, those numbers are very modest. 90,000 won't do very many reserves, and even if we increase the irrigation, I can guarantee that you'll not have enough money there to green all the reserves that aren't irrigated. And as Councillor Hull has mentioned, to be honest, 29,000 is only going to add a very few reserves to the irrigation system, but at least it's money locked in. And if we do decide to increase it, we're only looking at, I think, another $60,000 to $70,000 on what's there at the moment. So I'm happy with that amendment because they are quite prudent figures at the moment.
Is that seconded? Councillor Hull, do you wish to speak?
Yeah, look, it's essentially to dive in like this, there is some danger for sure, but we're looking at an increase of 125,000 dollars, something like that. 130. Shouldn't be too much of a burden for our finance department to find, given that we've got $1 million in cash surpluses at the moment for this current financial year. So it shouldn't be an onerous task for the staff to do that. And look, we all know this is going to benefit our city. Every ward. There's equity here, and it's in keeping with our environmental endeavours. Summers will get hotter, and we all know that green space will hit the city a bit cooler. And it's the thing that people notice the most. They notice the crappy, dry dust bowl reserves. They notice that big time. And you know, even if it's just somewhere for the kids or the dog to go for a run, it's important. And given that we've invested a lot of money, particularly with the Oaklands wetland, we should be now reaping the benefits, be it cut grass, in terms of greener reserves around the city. And that's why I personally would like to see the tentacles of the Oaklands wetland spread even further. And if we can get a licence closer to the south to draw water from that aquifer and get it up into the foothills and beyond, that would be a great thing. So, you know, the Oaklands wetland can actually be of great more benefit to the city than it currently is. So selling water is not my main priority. I congratulate the staff on what they've done with that and what they've achieved with the Oaklands wetland. My priority is what the initial mission of that wetland was to actually provide water to our reserves and cheaper than potable water. And that is the case now. And the more we spread the tentacles of that reserve, of that wetland, the cheaper the water supply will be per litre. So I commend this to you.
The amendment is moved and seconded. I'll put the amendment straight away. All those in favour, raise your hand. Carried unanimously. So the motion has been amended. Anybody who hasn't spoken has the right to speak. There being no further speakers and no one speaking against, I'll simply put the motion. All those in favour? All those against? Yep, carried unanimously. Thank you. Now, Councillor Gard did foreshadow concern about the average rate increase. You'll see description about the rationale on pages 96 and 97. Mr. Barnwell might be able to help with background, but I think we've got the last 12 months inflation running about 1.3%.
Long-term financial plan is based at 1.8% throughout the 10 years of the long-term plan. At this point, we have a currently balanced budget, subject to the 123,000 that has just been added to it. We've also got a forecast transfer to CFPP of 500,000. Just in relation to, as Councillor Garrard, you referred to a 1.3% increase, the impact of that and this year would be about a $365,000 drop in rates revenue. Over the, as that is compounded, if it's a 1 year drop and back up to 1.8%, over the, if that's compounded, it'd be about $4 million over 10 years, just to be aware of that, it has an ongoing impact. So whilst there is capacity to certainly drop it this year, it does have ongoing, it will probably throw year 2, 3, and 4 into deficits, not by a huge amount, but at the same time, it will. We have 4 years balanced at this point in time, but that will throw those 3 years into deficits until we'll have to do more investigative work to try and sort that out as well. We would note that City of Marion's 1.8% is probably the lowest of all the metros at the moment, from what we hear around the traps. So I'd just be cautious of not dropping it too low and make sure you have that capacity to do the projects, because there's a considerable amount of projects which council are ambitious to do, and I'd be very careful about dropping it too low not to be able to do those projects.
I suppose the other figure that comes to mind, if councillors want to look on page 101, you've got reference to employee costs there. The pay rise awarded last year being 2.5% per annum. So if members might want to be conscious of that as well. But if any member wants to move a motion in respect of the average rates rise, just please be clear about what the percentage rise is and also whether it's to apply in this coming year or for future years in the long-term financial plan. Floor's open. Councillor Gard, you've got a proposition.
Listening to Mr. Barnwell, Your Worship, 1.3% was the figure I have in mind, and I will qualify that in a moment. I would be happy to debate towards 1.5%, but some points that I'd like to make, and these are points that were discussed at the Finance and Audit Committee this morning as well, at my request. From year 2008-09, when we collected $43 million in rates, to the projection for year 22-23, so 14 years, we have a doubling of rates collection to $86 million. Now, that includes growth, but it represents, in real terms, taking out inflation, a 70% increase in rates in real terms in 14 years. In that time, the average wage, which has roughly matched CPI increases, could be estimated to be around 30%. So, and of course we know that pensions are tied pretty close to, pretty closely to those rates. My point is that the residents of our city, to a very large percentage, are hurting. There is rate stress along with a lot of other stresses, particularly for families, the disadvantaged, and the ageing. And unfortunately, as costs increase in areas such as utilities, they are not being matched by wages by a long way. Now, we, in my view, had a very good run in the years leading up to 2014-2015, a very good run. And every year that we preserve that very good run by just increasing our rates by CPI.
Point of order, Councillor Pfeiffer.
Your Worship, what motion are we debating at the moment?
We're listening to the preamble to a motion about the average rate rise.
Did we not deal with the budget item a moment ago?
No, the discussion about procedure was that we would separate the question of average rate increase. So we're going to do that now, cumulative with the other motions we've passed tonight. It's open season. Councillor Orton, so there's no point of order. Councillor Gard to resume in his untimed speech.
So every year that we maintain a CPI or slightly greater than CPI increase, we are preserving the very good run that we created for the City of Marion back in those prehistoric years, let's call them. Now, I think it's easy to bear in mind that we are, or it's easy to say that we are at the lower end of the scale of council rate increases. But that doesn't help the man trying to pay those rate increases. And I've got a funny feeling that councils look over each other's shoulders and compare notes, and it's a little bit like those that seek wage increases play one council off against another, and we should not get into that game. We should look at what is right for us and what is right in terms of our rate of improvement of the City of Marion within the means of our residents. Now, there's a subject that we never speak about when it comes to rate increases, and we spoke about it this morning at the Finance and Audit Committee, and that subject is that the management of this city is going to reach boiling point.
Councillor Gard, you need to wrap up, and you haven't moved a motion, so that will be the end of your opportunity,
right,
unless you do it
immediately.
If I could
have 30 more seconds, Your Worship?
No, actually you don't. Right. About 5 seconds.
Well, I want you to bear in mind that the management is at full stretch as far as new projects is concerned. So there is another consideration about how much we should put the accelerator to the floor. So my motion is that we settle for, I'm going to split it down the middle, a 1.4% wage in,
right, 1.4%.
1.4% increase Gard, in rates for this year only coming.
Councillor Gard, so just check that that's adequately represented up on the screen. Then I ask whether there's a seconder. Councillor Schilling, do you wish to speak?
Thank you, Your Worship. I agree with Councillor Gard. I think 1.4% is good. I think we'd go lower. Uncle Coringa is consulting on 1.6 at the moment, and they're in a worse financial position than we are. Light Regional Council has moved a 0% rate increase. I think 1.4 is fair going on the large rate rises that have been over previous terms. So I am in full support of a 1.4% average rate rise for 19-20.
Thank you. Anyone speaking against? Councillor Valescu.
Speak against, and then we would, it's a question, if we speak against, then we'd move an alternative motion for a rate, or would we move an amendment now if it's a different
you
rate?
You have the option There can be up to two amendments to the motion. We're sticking to formal procedures.
Okay.
So you can either vote, you can either speak for, against, or amend.
Look, I'll like to move an amendment to have what it was. I think that we're ripping.
No, I think all you need to do then is oppose the motion if that's your intention, Councillor.
Okay. And then it'll come back to another motion.
Well, no. If there is no successful motion, we're left with 1.8% in the draft before us.
All right. Yeah. Look, I'll oppose the motion. I would like to have a lower rate, and I do understand that the recent state budget does have significant increases in some of the cost of living for people, as well as the utility costs and other things that people are talking about. But I think we also have to look at what our responsibilities are. Our rate increases are less than 40% what they were. We've got a lot done. We've just put through $123,000 of improvements, mostly in the southern part as far as what we've looked at for Category 12 in irrigation. And we've got a balanced budget, and I'd like to keep that situation. I think the big thing to be aware of is there are some things that are out of our control to some extent, and they are the wage costs. They are 2.3. And my other concern is that what are we going to cut? You know, what services are going to go by the wayside in order to balance the budget? So that's my concern, and you know, is this, yeah. And I think there's a variety of services that a variety of people use in our community. I think 1.8 is modest, and I would like us to, if inflation is going to stay low over the next 12 months, let's look at how we can, as a group, get some of those savings instead of bringing in a $300,000 deficit at this point, just this late in the piece.
Anyone else speaking in favour of the motion? Then I will simply... Councillor Telfer? You don't need to, because if there are no more speakers in favour, our debating rules mean that it just goes back to the mover to close the debate.
Addressing the main point of Councillor Velescu, Your Worship, and that is... what are we going to cut? It's not really a matter of what are we going to cut. It's a matter of can we take the foot off the pedal somewhat? I think we can do everything we have in mind, but maybe not in the high aspirational time frame that we've been talking about. And that question doesn't really test well when you consider that it was only 10 years ago and we were collecting $43 million in rates compared with today's proposed $75 million, $32 million extra in 10 years. So we've added a lot, and we keep on adding it every year. So I'm saying that if we put on the brakes for just 1 year, and that we can resume to a higher rate thereafter, but it just takes that little bit of pressure out of all of the future increases and moderates our rate of development to some degree. It's a simple matter of planning, and at the same time we have the opportunity of ensuring that the management can go the pace, because I'm preempting from what the property manager said to us last week that we are in for a lot of stuff when it comes to asset renewal and replacement. So I don't think there is an issue with 1.4% for a period of a year and then steady as she goes thereafter at around about the rate we're talking about for this year. I really can't see any drama whatsoever. I don't think there's going to be any broken promises. I don't think there's going to be any disappointments.
Thank you. Before I put it to the vote, it's such a critical decision. I'll ask Mr. Scull and Mr. Barnwell whether they have any final comments. Mr. Scull.
Pardon, I understand Councillor Guy's concerns about equity and the resident impact. I do understand that the cost of living is going up. We build our budget on 1.8%, and as Councillor Valescu said, that budget is balanced. I think we need to be judicious in the way that the rates increase is concocted over this next month, because it could have significant consequences that compound over the years, as Mr. Barnwell said. With regard to savings, we've had a wonderful record over the last 4 years of savings. Just in, for example, the fleet management, we've saved $1.4 million this year, and that's enabled us to do things. But I do share the concerns about the asset replacement and renewal, which has been highlighted by Ms. Hayward, and is going to be quite significant coming forward. And if the rate increase is less than the rate increase that has been put forward and on which we built this budget, I think there could be some significant pressures. I would highlight as well that we've got a $44 million capital spend predicted for the next financial year. So I do concur with Councillor Gard that the next year is going to be stressed in some areas. That doesn't answer the question about what the rate increase would be, but my message would be I think we just need to be careful about what's coming up and what's on the horizon.
Mr. Barnwell, anything on the factual side of things, anything you wish to add?
Just obviously we haven't concluded the negotiation for the indoor staff agreement, which obviously outdoors agreed at 2.5. We're forecasting 2.3, but that is a bit of an unknown. I think, as Councillor Gard has highlighted, there is an unknown around our financial requirements regarding some of our asset infrastructure, which would be wise not to impede that if we have to reduce the existing rate. I think that's more of a concern as well, that we are dropping our rates, dropping our revenue, and just really the compounding effect of dropping it. As I say, even 1.3 is a $4 million over 10 years. It does impact on ongoing serviceability. So we would have to look at what services we will have to look at on that.
Yeah. That leads us to the vote. All those in favour of the motion, please raise your hand. All those against, motion's defeated. The division's called by Councillor Schilling. All those in favour, stand in your place, please. Councillors Schilling, Duncan, Gard and Crossland, you may sit down. Those against are Councillors Pfeiffer, Masika, Valescu, Pryor, Hull and Telfer. The motion is defeated. Does anybody else want to put up another option? Councillor Valescu.
I'll move the motion as is. And
You don't need to, because if there's not a variation, we've got 1.8% this year and the next 10 years built into the draft. The mayor gave the opportunity for people to vary at this point, but if there's no variation, you're left with the 1.8% in the draft. So if that's what you want, then don't touch it. Councillor Valescu, did you wish to vary it? Okay, Councillor Hull.
Somebody needs to move the motion.
It's been done. So what we've done is we adopted the draft, but the chair, recognising that the annual rate rise question is a debate all on its own, I accepted it as a separate motion rather than an amendment to the motion which adopted the draft in front of us.
Right. Can I ask a question?
Yes.
Given 1.8 as the proposed rate rise, what is that in terms of the rate in the dollar? In other words, how many cents in the dollar would that equate to?
Mr. Barnwell?
I haven't got those figures to hand. They will be brought back at the 11th of June meeting. We'll have those numbers for you. But from an average rate increase, it's probably about 50 cents a week for average rates, if that makes any sense to you.
Right, that's a question taken on notice. Thank you. Councillor Crossland?
Similar question. I'll ask two questions in one. So if we do reduce the rates by 0.1%, is it correct that equates to about $100,000 only per 0.1%? So we were arguing over $400,000.
Yeah, through the chair, 0.1% is around $73,000.
So pretty much $350,000 or something.
It was was 365 divided by 3.
And can you just remind us how much extra have we started receiving from Tonsley in the last year?
Not extra from Tonsley. I can give the figures around $500,000, which is the Tonsley rate, which is equivalent to what it was back in 2008-09. It's about 0.65 of our overall rate take, and it's equivalent to that. It has been increased.
Another question, if I may. Just for clarity, the rate that we set last year was 2.3. And what we're proposing tonight is
1.8 is before us.
So the trajectory is heading down.
Correct.
And it's our discretion next year, regardless of what we put in the draft budget, what that rate will be.
Well, that's right. We plan a 10-year plan. That's the prudent thing to do, and in fact we have to do it. But it is up to council each year to set the rate, simply because circumstances change.
And my last question, clearly in terms of the draft legislation for rate capping, tonight's proposed rate will be below that set by the Minister for Local Government if he was to get that legislation through Parliament.
Councillor Hull, the Minister for Local Government hasn't indicated what a proposed rate cap would be, so that would be pure speculation, but I can add that in New South Wales the figure set was 2.7%.
So the notional figure that's around, we would be below that notional figure?
Well, if the New South Wales rate cap is a guide, then yes.
Okay.
Councillor Crossland?
Sorry, just on a... I know we get some dodgy facts, but I didn't believe it was 2.3% rate rise last year.
It was 1.8 last year. Yeah. So it's consistent with last year's rate.
Beg your pardon, I thought there was a reference to the year before, so... My apologies. Councillor Telfer.
I'd just like, through the chair and to the finance people, some clarification on the statement about our rates doubling in time. Haven't we had more population increase in the last 10 years, and doesn't that affect the rates overall in terms of need for services and infrastructure?
Mr. Barnwell, both on the income and expenditure side, what
the revenue would have doubled over the 10 years, but also with our operating costs, and you would have had influx and resident increases as well. So there's also project increases, like our capital works this year for next year is planned to be $44.5 million. Back even 3-4 years ago, we were only doing $19-20 million worth of works. So it's very hard to compare them, but they're the sort of numbers that we can be talking about.
I'm being a bit indulgent here because there are limits to people's questions. I'm not sure what you mean, Councillor Hull. What do you want to do? I'll just hold... Well, I suppose that's a... look, I won't uphold the point of order until I've heard what Councillor Hull intends to do. What he means is not an amendment, but I'd like to know what he does mean.
I want to follow on with the process that Councillor Gard attempted. I would propose 1.6, just so we have that trajectory heading downwards rather than having stagnation.
Right, well... Unless staff advise me there's no basis to accept the motion, I'll accept it. All right. So that is in order.
Right, just to quickly speak to it, Councillor Gard makes some good points about capacity to pay. Oddly enough, the state government is not heeding that advice by putting up charges for public transport and whatever, but there you are. I wish they'd practice what they preach. But I think it would be good, the selling point, to demonstrate we're on a trajectory, even though it's only a little bit less, but I think 1.6 would demonstrate that over how many years we've been heading down now?
Since I arrived, Councillor.
Well, Mr. Mayor, I'll accept that interjection because as a matter of relevance, But it also is since Mr. Scull arrived, by the way. I think we need to also acknowledge that.
So equally, carry on. Interjection was out of order. Do carry on.
Well, I'm glad you brought it up because I think credit should be given where credit's due, and to you and to you, Mr. Scull. But let's continue the tradition as long as we can. We might not be able to do it forever to head downwards. I think it shows commitment to our community. We're not talking about a large amount of money. We should be able to tick all the boxes that Councillor Valesky wants to tick, and I agree with him on that. I really do, because there's two things you all need to be aware of to understand people's capacity to pay and also equally understand their aspirations, what they want. Service delivery, you need to tick that box as well. And I think 1.6 may well be the happy balance in all of this, and we should be able to almost have bragging rights about this. That's how I see it. I think it's so much better than back when Councillor Spears was on council. 2012, Councillor Spears seconded my motion to put the rates up about 4.5%. There it is there. It's the rate in the dollar, but that's what it equated to. It's all in the public record, but, you know, to be fair to Councillor Spears, or the now Minister, he was working on information provided to us by the administration. And at the time, I'll go as far as saying that we weren't given good information. We were constantly told, for those who were here in that term before Mayor Hannah, think about the crap that we were fed and the intimidation even to say, if you don't do this, you will have all your footpaths stopped and this and that. That has been proven to be wrong by the interventions of Mayor Hannah and Mr. Scull. That's a fact. And Councillor Hull and Councillor Spears were making this decision in good faith. We might not have been comfortable with it, but it's so much better now. That's the point that I want to make.
Do I wish to speak? Anyone speaking against the 1.6%? Councillor Pfeiffer.
Thank you, Your Worship. Look, I'm not actually fervently against this in the sense that, I mean, the difference between 1.6 and 1.8, as Councillor Crossland asked the question before, the numerical difference isn't actually huge in terms of the budget. I think my opposition to this, and look, 1.6, yeah, that actually sounds quite good to me, I must say. My opposition to this is really just in terms of what we've put our staff through so far. I can't recall whether it was our January session or a session prior to that, where we sort of went around the table at a forum and said, you know, where's our sensitivity at? And I think most of the chamber at that point was saying, yeah, 1.8 sounds about right. Our staff, now in the past, we've actually asked our staff to set budgets on various scenarios. Now, to my knowledge, we haven't actually asked staff to do that this year because there was that general faith in the fact that 1.8, yeah, it feels about right. We've cascaded it down from 4.1% in the term before you arrived, Your Worship. 1.8, it's what we consulted on. I don't think there was, from going by what I've seen tonight and the previous item, I don't think there was too much fervent opposition to 1.8 coming from our extremely minimal consultation from our 88,000 residents. We have prepared that. Our staff have diligently spent a couple of months preparing that budget on the basis of 1.8. We've added $123,000 to our expenditure just this evening. Just this evening, the item before this, we added $123,000. So, it's not a huge gap, the 1.6 to 1.8. It's not a huge gap. I'm not fervently in opposition to it in itself as being a number. It's more the principle of it. And look, we're going to need to do some more work between now and June to actually figure out where's that difference coming from, because that we will have to find a way to save that money. And yeah, look, I'm sure there's plenty of things that we can cut. We've cut a hell of a lot in over recent years from things that haven't directly influenced and directly negatively influenced the community. But we do need to find savings to find that. 0.2%, not a lot, but we do need to find savings to actually do that, and it could well lead to another bung fight.
Anyone else speaking in favour?
If not, then I'll just leave it to the mover, Councillor Hull, to close the debate.
Further to add, Mr. Mayor.
All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against? The vote is tied. The Mayor, just making a brief comment, I would say it's really poor governance to have a discussion in January and suggest to our staff, our hard-working finance team, that they should construct a budget around 1.8% to see what that looks like. Of course, it is true that at every point since then, any elected member has the right to come forward and suggest a different calculation. But to do so on the floor of the chamber without having given staff the opportunity to work up alternative numbers, in my opinion, is poor governance. So at this point, I wouldn't be supporting a variation, and I'm very mindful of the record capital spend on the things that our community wants, and I'm also privy to some of the extraordinary expenditures that are heading our way. So I would be voting against the motion, so it is defeated. Division's called. Councillor Crossland, all those in favour of the 1.6% motion, please stand. They are Councillors Hull, Schilling, Duncan, Gard and Crossland. You may sit down. Those against, Councillors Pfeiffer, Masika, Velescu, Pryor and Telfer. The vote is tied. The Mayor casts his vote in, against the motion, so the motion is defeated. And we can move on.